The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and Jay Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got JC, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this Wednesday morning with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks for always keeping the conversation going. That's where you can watch our show and all the shows right here on ESPN 1000. I would say good morning, or should I say good evening, Cap. Look outside. Good night.
Yeah, it feels like I'm doing nights again.
It's unbelievable. Look at that. Yeah. Beautiful sun this morning, huh?
Nasty out there.
Yeah, it is.
Nasty.
Did you grab an oar and to make your way in this morning?
I took the ark.
Did you take the ark? Okay. You and Noah?
Yeah.
All right. And to be able to get in? Boy, that's something, isn't it?
I did not realize that it was raining as hard up north as it was. It's slowed down dramatically down here now.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting ready to put on some Air Jordans, and my wife was, I thought, asleep. Hon, you're not going to want to wear those nice shoes. It's raining out there.
Yeah.
Really?
She wanted to make sure that you put on your rubbers?
I don't use those.
Oh, you don't?
No.
You don't use protection?
I do not.
You should, man. Want to make sure that your shoes stay nice and dry.
I'm not going to give.
She's
her
what?
I almost said how old she is. I'm not having kids.
Okay.
We're done.
Nonetheless, the Bears will be cranking it up here against the Eagles. And boy, this will be interesting. We saw this coming, though, when the schedule came out, Cap. You and I saw the schedule. We did the meatball picks, you know, just slightly with the pen. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. And then we saw that December schedule and said, oh, God. Teams like the Eagles.
Eagles,
the
Bills at the Lions, home with the Vikings.
Oh, God.
That's the last four.
Cap. We saw that and said, this will be trouble. And this is before any change with the roster or what you thought the Bears would be. When the schedule came out and said, that's a contender, that's a contender, that's a contender, we saw this. And so here come the Eagles, the class, some would say, of the National Football League. And when I think about teams that I wish the Bears would be more like, not just on the field but organizationally, Howie Roseman's done a terrific job with Philadelphia. I think that that team is sound. It's a perennial playoff team in the mix for the Super Bowl. And so this is where I want the Bears to look like. Pretty sound on the field in the front office.
So how many of our players would actually start for them? Cap, we could win 10 or 11 games, I keep hearing people say over the summer. 10 or 11 games? Do you realize how far our roster is from the Philadelphia Eagles?
Far.
Is there one guy on our team, one, other than maybe Trenton Gill, the punter, that would start for the Eagles?
I don't see one, Cap.
Miles Sanders is the best of all the running backs. Not saying I don't like our guys, but Miles Sanders is a beast. Okay, their offensive line, not one of our guys is starting for them. None.
Mm-hmm.
How about the front seven? How about this? I believe, and I'll go back and pull the stats up, but I believe I'm right. They have four guys on their defensive line who all have a minimum of seven or more sacks. Our entire defensive line room doesn't have that many.
Very telling.
But we're just a couple pieces away. Why can't we be competitive right away? because we are freaking light years from that.
Mm-hmm.
Light years.
Yeah.
Well, if we have all this cap space, can't we add up? No. You don't get every free agent you want, A. Not every free agent pans out, B. Draft picks are a crapshoot, as we've learned the hard way, C. It's a process. It's going to take time.
No question about that. And whatever happens, Cap, is, and we'll talk about what's happening today, and then we'll see what happens at the end of the season. But this morning, number two of the bullet, the Bears will be drafting number two. So if you're going to get ready for your draft party, here's what I would suggest. Get your draft party together. Put the invites out for the draft, because make sure people there are on time, Cap, on time for the draft, because the Bears will be selecting second. So no late people just straggling in. It's going to be Houston 1, Bears 2, as we see it. It's probably going to stay that way. So if you're going to have a draft party, get ready, because that's where the Bears will be going. Number 2, they will find restaurant quality right there at the number 2 spot. No question about it.
Yeah, right now, today, we're third, right? Yes, we're third today. Seattle is number 2 because they have Denver's pick. That's why I so wanted Denver to come back and beat the Chiefs last week.
Oh, that's my projection, is that it's Houston 1 and Bears 2,
Denver
3.
I think you're correct, because I don't think the Bears are winning again. Do you?
I don't see a victory.
Eagles, Bills at the Lions and the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
No chance. I don't see it.
My projection is Houston, Chicago, Denver, Rams, New Orleans.
And if that Rams pick stays at 4, which it probably will, it goes to the Lions.
Yes, that's Detroit's pick, the Rams.
And Denver's pick goes to Seattle. To be clear, the Bears pick third as it stands today. Mm-hmm. Denver does have to lose. They caught a little bit of, well, maybe the Bears caught a little bit of a gift, because the Broncos will play the Cardinals without Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm. I believe the Bears will be at 2 when it's all squared
away.
You
see who's picking fifth? The Eagles.
Yes.
What deal did they make that got them that pick?
You know what? This is what I'm talking about, being a sound organization. Now, will they win the Super Bowl? I think it's likely. If they don't, guess what? They'll be right back there in the mix again. And that's what you like about an organization. So here's what I look at, though, because this is going to be quite the test for the Bears, in that you're watching a team that's a well-oiled machine against a Bears team with Justin Fields. And again, every time you see Justin, you see something special. Doesn't mean that the team's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, from the Bears' standpoint, exactly what they're going to do to be able to make an adjustment out of the bye. Some thoughts here from Matt Eberflus. Anything that you figured out during the bye week?
Yeah, I do. I do think we finished, figured a couple things out. Just more about situations, how we can improve, how we can enhance our players to do what they do well. So I'm excited about looking at that.
Matt, is there any value, I don't know if you've done this throughout the season, to look back at what you guys did last year against opponents? Like, obviously, you played the Bills last year. You played Josh Allen. Is there value in looking at that tape or seeing things schematically that you did as you prepare for this?
Yeah, there is. We always look at that. You know, we look at like opponents. So, for example, if you have an offense that's similar to your offense, a defense that's similar to yours, you look and see how they attacked that particular team, what they did. You look at your past when you played a particular opponent. And it'll maybe change things up some, because they're going to obviously look at that game too. So you always want to change your looks up and change a little bit of your design, how you design the offensive plays and defensive schemes. So, yeah, always look at all those things.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts for Matt Eberflus? He has no idea.
He's just trying to hang out for dear life.
He has no idea.
He's looking at his roster going, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a head coach. I'm thrilled to be a head coach. Love it. We got a lot of work to do.
Well, when it comes to Justin Fields, since that's the number one thing that we watch every week, from the bye week to where we are now, I think that from the last game that we saw from Justin, that game plan is still solid. He was efficient throwing the football, didn't run a lot. And I still believe, even with the bye week, and maybe he's a little bit more healed from that left side, from that shoulder, he still shouldn't have to run it a million times. Shouldn't have to do that. I don't want to see him hurt or re-injure whatever is going on with him on that shoulder.
And that's an Eagles team that has to win.
Yes.
They're rolling in going, we've got the number one spot right now. It's not locked up. They should end up with the number one seed. What are they, 12-1?
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you want Fields to play like he did the last time we saw him, the last game?
Well, he ran the ball in the first half. And then he said after he had to shove Kenny Clark, he felt it in his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So he was much more chained into the pocket. Do I want to see him play pocket guy or full go?
I'm sure you want to see him full go.
If he can't be full go, he shouldn't be out there.
Well, I agree with that. But the young man wants to play, as Eberflus tells us.
I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. You want a shovel, too, and I'm not going to allow it. I got to protect you from you when it snows.
Yep.
So it is what it is. If his shoulder is not 100%, he shouldn't be out there. And I don't think they would put him out there if he was being put in harm's way, so to speak, with that injury. You can get injured. Kyler Murray got injured with nobody around him the other day.
Right.
It can happen.
Yeah.
It's a violent, tough sport. But the Bears currently sit at number 3. So they're going to get, you would think Houston's taking a quarterback, right?
Yes.
Everyone seems to think they're going to take Bryce Young.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck with that. I hope it works. But I think it was, who did I just read? I've read a bunch of different draft articles, and one of them said there is no quarterback worthy of a top 10 pick.
That is correct.
Right.
That's correct. As much as Shay and I watch a ton of college football, no one blows their skirt up that believe that they're going to be a difference maker.
Shay, who was it?
Not early.
Kuiper said that, was it Kuiper that said Will Levis is by far the number one prospect at quarterback?
I don't know. I haven't read much on the draft stuff lately because it all changes by the minute, and I'm sure there will be some pro day from some kid none of us have even talked about that'll vault him into the second pick like it did with Wilson. But none of these guys in this draft, and I've watched them all, Levis, Young, Stroud, none of them interest me.
Okay, so maybe Houston says the same thing, and they take Will Anderson.
And the Bears take C.J. Stroud.
No shot.
Well, I mean, I don't know where you're going with that. I'm asking you about what Justin's going to look like in the bye. You're at the draft. We're bringing a draft guy on this month?
Not yet.
Soon, though, right?
That's right. The Bears cannot afford to win now. Mm-hmm. They can't. What does that accomplish for you?
I'm still going to get quality. Whether it's one, whether it's five, I'm going to get a difference maker in this draft. It's going to be a non-quarterback, clearly, because it's the Bears. They won't draft a quarterback.
No way.
Yeah, so it'll be quality. No question about it. Now, again, nothing's guaranteed, but I'm just saying that based on some of the mock drafts that we've seen, I see a lot of quality guys. It's like, okay, that guy, you plug him in, he could be a difference maker right away. That guy could be. But again, Cap, to me, coming out of the bye, and again, it's about players more so than what the fans want. Players want to be able to go out on the field and feel like that they can compete. Now, whether or not they win or not, that's a different story. Here's a perfect example with Dallas and the Texans over the weekend on Sunday. The Texans could clearly just shut it down and put it in an idle. Like, all right, we're not going to do it. But they played hard for Lovie. They didn't have to.
Correct. They like playing Dallas, for him.
In Dallas? They didn't have to do that. They were showing 2006 defense out there. They scared the Cowboys. Now, from the Cowboys standpoint, it's like, take your hats off because you're able to win a close game against a team that you should be able to beat by 40.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to survive that game. So congratulations to them. At the same time, though, I think those Texans players just want to just say, I'm just trying to get to Cancun. They have pride, too.
Players and coaches do not tank. They don't.
Right.
If they have any pride, they show up and they play. General managers construct rosters that tank.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Ryan Poles did. That's exactly what he did. Again, we've gone over the numbers. We're not going to bore everybody. When you spend what you're spending for guys to play for other teams in dead cap charges,
yeah,
you're not trying to win.
So if you're in that coaching room, what do you want to see here out of the bye? What are you saying to the offense? What are you saying to the defense?
I would like to know if Justin's going to be back there, can we protect this kid? Mm-hmm. Can we let him drop back, go through his progressions, and then can we get some separation from our receivers? I did not know this stat. Cole Kmet is averaging about 5 yards of separation per pass pattern.
Mm-hmm.
He's top 5 in the league now at that. He used to be, I talked about it with Waddle a billion times, he used to be like he had sticky stuff. He was Velcroed to the defenders.
Right.
He's getting a lot better. That is a sign of progress for me. Cole Kmet, sign of progress. Justin, sign of progress. Who else?
No, that's about it. I mean, and the offensive line, the last game that we saw, the pass protection was very, very good. I want to see that replicated in this game against the Eagles on Sunday. Protection for Justin Fields. The pass protection was very, very good.
Agreed.
So it would make me think about the offensive line for the future, and I'll talk to you about that coming up. But you know what, Shay, let's open the phone lines on the Bears. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We're asking you, the Bears fan, what adjustments are you hoping the Bears make out of the bye week? And we had a bearless Sunday, and now here we go, cranking it up against the Eagles coming up on Sunday. So what adjustments are you hoping the Bears make out of the bye? Some things that you want to see from this team that you hadn't seen in the last few weeks. So let's get your thoughts on that. Also, I'll give you some thoughts about the offensive line that stood out to me the last game for the Bears. We'll talk about that and more on Cap and Jay Hood.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
On a Wednesday morning on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago apps. So glad that you're with us here today. We're just asking you, okay, we had a bearless Sunday, and they're going to crank it up here again against the Eagles. What adjustments are you hoping that the Bears make out of the bye week? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Adjustments, when we say adjustments, we're not talking necessarily about your X's and O's because we're not privy to everything that Eberflus and the coaching staff is trying to put together. We're just saying, is there something that different that you want to see from this Bears team on the field that you say, boy, you know, that gives me solace for the future? Now, about the offensive line, Cap, and we'll get to your phone calls in just a second. I was saying yesterday, and I want to make sure it's very clear, because we go through the show fast and we got a lot of different thoughts that we put on the show. But let me just say this, Cap, the hope is if you are Ryan Poles, an old offensive lineman himself, the hope is that fifth round pick Braxton Jones and Tevin Jenkins, and if Jones is left tackle, great. If Jenkins is right guard, fine. Alex Leatherwood as well. If you've been able to evaluate all these last few games, those three in particular, Whitehair we know is a solid player. That's not the point. Jones, Jenkins, Leatherwood. If you see something, Cap, here the rest of this regular season that says, you know what, those guys accounted themselves and they played very well, then that'll be a good thing for the Bears. Because I know that sometimes when we talk about the offensive line and Justin being rattled and having to run around is because the offensive line isn't very good. Cap, the hope is that you can get at least two of these guys. Then go into next year and say, those are going to be the guys. We don't have to worry about those guys in the offseason. Does that make sense? Or like,
it does.
You're just trying to, I'm just saying, solidifying guys that's already on the roster, like building up Braxton Jones into something. Tevin Jenkins, if you feel he's the best offensive lineman that you have, then good. You don't have to worry about that. And then Leatherwood is like the coin flip. I saw him in Alabama. He was a monster. And I thought that guy for the next 15 years is going to be a cornerstone for some franchise. It hasn't worked out.
Yeah, they cut him less than 2 years.
Yeah.
Out. In Vegas.
Raiders, right?
Right. He was a 17th pick. Gone. Which tells you there's more to it than just his ability.
My hope is that there's two guys, at the very least, that Poles doesn't have to worry about. Maybe three.
Hopefully. I hope you're right. I hope you are correct. There are people out there, like my friend, we call him the Duck. He said, this is not a bad team if they would have kept Smith, Mack, Hicks, Quinn. Hold on a second.
Weren't winning with them.
Correct. Those guys were all here, and they weren't winning.
Mm-hmm.
By keeping them, you still have no offensive talent in the wide receiver room, or very little. You still weren't getting home to the quarterback enough.
Mm-mm.
And you would have, all your cap money would have been used up and you still wouldn't be good enough. That is not, he's like, well, we could have won. And I know there are people, we should have beat Atlanta, Washington, Miami, Detroit, and arguably Green Bay at home up 19-10. That means every single break in every one of those losses goes your way. Every one.
And that would be like Nagy year one.
Correct.
Where
unsustainable.
When you're doing Santa sleigh and all these sleight of hand and these little shell games to be able to win ball games offensively.
If you want Ryan Poles to build you something special, you got to let the man go to work. Let him get two or three drafts under his belt and go, wow, we've actually got some depth here. Like Jack Sanborn should be a depth piece.
Oh,
people love him.
Sorry.
He should be a depth piece in his rookie year, not like the star of your defense.
The guy.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's not a shot at him.
Yeah.
That is awesome that what he's doing. Nobody gets to the quarterback. No receiver makes a, like, wow.
Nope.
Like, we collect a bunch of number three receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Claypool, Mooney. That's about it. Is that, are any of the other guys that are currently here, the lousy St. Brown, nice guy, I'm sure, but not as good as his brother.
you made a discernment on that. The lousy St. Brown.
Yeah, not Amon-Ra, who's playing for the Red Hot Lions.
Ah, you see that, JC?
Equanimous.
It's a lousy St. Brown. You get that?
Like when you and your wife are, you know, you're expecting.
Yeah.
What should we name? We're having a boy. What should we name him? Steven? Jonathan, David, Charles,
Shay.
Mm-hmm. I like Amon-Ra. Really? Okay. It's twins, honey. How about Equanimous? Like, what? And we got the one that can't play.
That's exactly right.
He's a good blocker for a wide receiver. Pringle, he's not going to be here.
No.
They let Tyreek Hill leave Kansas City, need a receiver, and go, nah, we're good. He can go to Chicago.
I don't know how this will make you feel, Cap, but Amon-Ra is an Egyptian god. So they named their kid after a god. I actually think it's kind of cool.
It is cool. What is Equanimous?
Hold on. He's taking a look.
I'm figuring that out. Amon-Ra, I knew. I'm looking up Equanimous. It always reminds
Amon-Ra
me of...
Flat-out play.
I don't know why I always think of this, but what is it? What are they, equestrian? That's what I always think of when I hear Equanimous. I thought Cap would have liked that.
Yeah, I thought you liked swimming.
Well, it's horseback riding.
Thank you.
Oh.
Shay.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
That's
wow.
You mean it's not an Olympic sport? Swimming? No?
It is, maybe. It's just called swimming.
Oh.
Or synchronized swimming.
Oh, I see.
Or diving.
312-332-3776, our phone number. I'm glad that you brought up, by the way, those games. So you had a text message about, you said the Dolphins game, Lions games, Falcons and Jets. There's those games, right? That's what you were just telling me?
He brought up Atlanta, Washington, Miami, Detroit, and Green Bay here.
Okay, well, those games that, especially as of late, Dolphins, Lions, Falcons, Jets, Packers, what did I tell you about those games, Cap? I said, when the Bears had talent, I said, well, those are coin flip games. Either you're going to win those games or lose those games. I said that at the time. I said, you know, that Falcons game could be a field goal game in favor of the Bears. Bears lost by 3. Jets, didn't know how good the Jets were going to be.
Yeah, we got pounded.
Didn't know. But when did,
but
had no
Fields
clue.
Didn't play that game.
No. But
yeah, that was Simeon.
But Cap, no clue of how good the Jets would be this year.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, looking at the Packers, they're not going to win that game. Dolphins, wasn't sure what we were going to see.
Right.
And I said, that's a coin flip game. And the Bears lost all of them.
Every one.
All of them.
So again, if I give you, okay, how many games is that he texted? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of them. I'll give you the advantage. I'll give you 3 of them.
Still okay? Out of it, yeah.
So instead of being 3-10, you're 6-7.
You're the Lion. You're in the mix. In the hunt.
You're on the graphic.
You're on the graphic.
You're in the hunt.
Literally no chance of making a run in the playoffs. None.
What I will say, yeah, because the Lions are on the graphic with a chance. The Bears would be on the graphic with no chance. What I would say to the people who are saying, you know, you could have won these games. That's true. There is something to be said for having the talent that put you in position to win some of those games. If you do... And you'd find you like still think Valus Jones maybe is a serviceable punt returner, or you still have Amir Smith-Marset on the team because he doesn't get stripped against Minnesota and you win that game,
mm-hmm.
Then you're carrying awful talent because of results, which I think would be an issue too.
Well, this Justin would have beat the Commanders, but the one that's just standing chained to the pocket, losing 12-7, that's the Justin that we got.
But
it, this Justin would have beat the Commanders.
But even, well, I don't know, now the Commanders are playing really good football.
At the time, though.
If you took this Justin but kept that Commanders. And that
I have no question.
But
we
this
beat
Justin and this Commanders, I'm not sure you win.
No, this Commanders is a much better ball club.
They have really, coaching has taken them. They make, with all the nonsense that goes on in that organization with Dan Snyder and all that,
yeah,
they've been able to focus, and they're playing good football. They got a huge game this week. They play the Giants again. They got to win that game.
Hey, Ken?
Hey, guys.
Hey, man. Are you ready to talk Bears with us?
Sure, why not?
All right. Why not? Well, I'll tell you when. We'll
he talk called. What do you mean, why not? You called.
Yeah, you called. Wait, you called us, Ken. Are you ready to talk Bears?
Of course I'm ready to talk Bears.
All right.
That's much better.
Yeah, you'll talk about Bears with us next on Cap and Jay Hood.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I have to remind you that coming up at 10 o'clock will be Mike Greenberg from 10 to noon. Carmen Yurko 2 to 6. Waddle and Sylvie 2 to. Sorry, Carmen Yurko 12 to 2. Waddle and Sylvie 2 to 6. Bleck and Abdallah 6 to 8. Freddie and Fitzsimmons 8 to midnight. All part of our mix here on ESPN 1000.
And we will get into Carlos Correa going to the Giants and Cubs fans who are upset.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read you one tweet that we'll address this when Jesse joins us at 8:35.
Sure.
By the way, Cubs, if you don't sign Swanson, I will be having a live Cubs jersey burning party in my yard before the season.
Of course you will.
They are furious. Look at them.
Yeah. We'll get to them.
We will.
Yeah, that's for sure, because there's a lot to unpack with that signing that took place and how that affects not just the Cubs, but baseball in general. So we'll get to that as we move forward here on Cap and Jay Hood. Now, the aforementioned Ken from Aurora, Colorado, listening on the ESPN Chicago app, talking Bears with you. Hello, Ken.
Hey, good evening, guys. It's my nighttime, so I want to say good evening.
Oh, good evening.
Yes. Yeah.
Fine.
First of all, Jay, I got to say, yeah, don't worry. I'll get a check sent out to you guys.
Beautiful.
Bernie'sBookBank.org, please.
Absolutely, and Dave, I'll pay for yours as well because you never have any money.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate you,
Jay. Before I get started, I got to say I think you need to talk to Sil about the cream he sells every time you talk about Jack Sanborn. exactly my point.
I mean, imagine Cap made the salient point in the last half hour of Jack Sanborn is supposed to be like, you know, special teamer. You know, a guy that's a backup, but
good
not
young the, kid that's developing,
but not front facing and
he's
the defense.
Our guy.
Yeah, that's it's crazy.
If we didn't get rid of all those guys, we never would have known about David Sanborn. But I mean, Jack Sanborn. My apologies.
What is the matter with you, Ken?
There's a lot wrong with me. Ask my family. I want to talk about the draft. If they stay at number two,
they're at three.
My apologies. That's right. I heard that. I forgot. If they stay at number three, and would it be better for them to get a run stuffer? And would that help the edge rushers that they maybe they'll get in the off season or in the draft as well? Or would an edge rusher be better? That's something that I've been pondering for the last couple of weeks now. What do you guys feel would be better?
The answer is yes.
All of the above. Like, if Jalen Carter is the three technique in the middle of our defense, sign me the hell up.
Cap.
If the kid out of Alabama, Will Anderson, is rushing the passer, sign me up. Yeah.
I mean, those two guys, again, cornerstones for your franchise for a long time.
Right.
My God.
If you told me the kid from Northwestern is playing somewhere on our offensive line. Mm-hmm. Every report I read is that he's top two offensive linemen in the draft. If you told me, well, we traded back and we got that kid, Peter Skoronski, and we got some three technique that's a beast out of the SEC, sign me up. Just just start dropping dudes on our roster.
Yeah, absolutely. And develop and let's see what happens.
Correct.
So from theathletic.com, NFL power rankings, taking a look at every team's offseason wish list. So Philadelphia is number one. Again, they're looking at Steelers quarterback, cornerback Cameron Sutton. So Eagles number one. So you scroll down. You're just waiting to get the Bears. You're scrolling for a while like, okay, where is the Bears on this list, right? All the teams in the National Football League, you get through New England at 15. You keep scrolling down. You get to Tampa Bay at 18. Keep going. 23 is Cleveland. Keep going down. Then you finally, Cap, get to the Bears. And the Bears are at 29. And they
Who's
say,
after us beside Houston?
You mean who's 30, 31? 30 is Denver. 31 is the Colts. The Texans are 32.
Huh. On the brilliant list. Chris Ballard. I kept hearing what a great GM he is. The Colts, they're a tire fire. See, at least we've got our guy in Justin. Denver? Oh, my God.
And the Colts, you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 739 here on the Fan here in Indy. As we take a look now at the Bears. The Bears, they say Chiefs left tackle Orlando Brown.
Yep.
So the Bears enter the offseason projected to have the most cap room in the league. We got to underline that because people keep telling us, and that is true, the most cap room in the league. They have a franchise quarterback they desperately need to protect. Fields' 13.7% sack rate is far and away the highest in the league and the highest since David Carr in 2005.
But I keep having people like my friend Clay Harbor, who played in the league for you.
Yeah.
Our offensive line looks a lot better than you give it credit for. Highest sack rate in the league.
He may know what he may have played. There's things that I read from him that he doesn't know what he's talking about. So sorry, you just like because you can't. Because here's the thing: you can't say the offensive line's fine and then they give up a whole bunch of sacks and go, "Oops." There's a freezing cold take within the game when he tweets. Wait. Evaluate. You don't see Baldinger with his Baldinger, you know, nuggets saying this team's great, and then the team loses and says, "Oh, that team sucks." Wait, watch the film.
He does. He breaks down every film, and then he always. I love him. He keeps texting, "Cat, this guy's playing better." Yes, Braxton Jones has made progress.
Yes,
he's not there yet as the starting level left tackle on a team thinking they're going to the playoffs. It's a process.
So if you are going into free agency, Cap, and they say Orlando Brown, it's a name that we keep hearing about for the Bears at left tackle. And we talk about what the Bears need, right? So if you are, if the time comes, it's midnight, free agency, what are you going after first? They say left tackle from Orlando Brown. What do you think?
If, again, I'm not an offensive line expert.
Mm-hmm.
I only play one on the radio. If Ryan Poles... He knows him. He was there with him. If he says that guy is a beast, yes, go get him.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't miss. Don't have the wrong eval. Like, he should know him better than anybody.
Right.
He was with him in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
If he's truly that good, I want the best available left tackle. The best guy. Yeah. If that's Braxton Jones, keep him there. If it's not him and you get somebody else, put him there, put Braxton Jones at right tackle.
Whatever it takes, right?
Whatever it takes. You got to fix your O-line before you do anything, and then you got to stop the run. So you got to fix your defensive line.
Well, a couple things with this, and you and I have talked about this in the past, and I think it comes to a head here. Orlando Brown, Chiefs, right? If you are, unless there's a money issue, I mean, you want to keep Orlando Brown to protect Patrick Mahomes, don't you? If he's expendable, what's wrong with Orlando Brown? It's the old Jeff Blauser, expendable, going to the Cubs.
Well, because he's going to get paid, you can't afford him.
I understand, like, but I mean, I'm saying if it's outside of the financial ramifications, and are we getting diminished returns? Will this guy still be a stud? That
I don't
know.
He's 27 years old, and if you've watched him this year, he hasn't been good. He's already getting diminishing returns. The Chiefs can't tag him twice because he's already been bad.
You know, that makes me, I mean, you know, when I say Jeff Blauser, you know what I mean by that, Cap, right? You go to an Atlanta Braves team,
yep,
that perennial winner, he was part of that, and all of a sudden becomes available.
He's a 307 hitter. We're like, wow, we got a 300. He was horrible here.
Like, why is he available? Kind of like maybe some of the Patriots guys, when the Patriots were good,
Right. Why is that guy available?
Well, I was just going to bring that up, because how many times has that happened? Like, the Patriots go out and get Trent Brown. He stinks. Or they send his name escapes me. The guy, the left tackle who went to San Francisco, I think. Mm-hmm. And they saw he was
Trent
terrible.
Brown?
It was the other one. Anyway, it happens every season, it seems like. You get one of these high-profile, aging left tackles. Everybody knows their name. Tyrone Smith has kind of been that guy, even though he's been better in Dallas, where you have a guy who's getting older and he's now been injured. He's not as productive. You do this with Orlando Brown, you're going to make him the highest-paid left tackle in football. He is not good enough to be paid like that.
Okay, so he's played 800.
That's Marky Price, but that's what it is.
He has been on the field for 891 snaps. That's fourth most of any offensive lineman or any offensive tackle in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He's picked up 5 penalties. That's tied for 33rd. He's allowed 3 sacks. That's tied for 40th. Player grade overall is 72.2. Better in pass pro at 73.1 than run block 67.1.
I got a lot of 72s in school. That's still pass, though. D.
Great on the curve.
That's it. That was still a D. I still got 72. JC, it's still passed, though. It's still passed the sniff test. I was able to graduate on that.
So how good is he? That's a great question,
Well, listen. So let me see if I can pin you down on this when it comes to this offseason coming up. You believe that when you come to the draft, it's about the best available on that general manager's board, correct?
If I'm not trading back, if Ryan says that the deal doesn't make sense, we're taking the best guy at number 3. That's okay. Where we're sitting. Let's assume that's where they end up.
So best on the board for you as a general manager?
Yeah.
Board.
My first goal is to trade back.
Okay.
To get more picks.
Okay.
To get more talent. If there's no deal that makes sense because none of the quarterbacks are worth paying a king's ransom, then I'm okay. We're on the board at 3. We're taking our player who's the best guy on the board. Period.
Okay. Now, and we disagree on that, but in free agency, it's the best that's available, or it's actually going for need, is it not?
Free agency
is for need.
More for need.
And for you, the draft is for best available on your board that
Correct.
You put together.
Correct. Okay. So if I look and go, I've got Jalen Carter rated a hair better than Will Anderson, or vice versa,
mm-hmm.
I'm taking the best one that's sitting there.
Okay. Now, here's the reason why I ask that question is because Orlando Brown, again, it could be a perfect fit. We look at the age of 26, and, again, we'd have to talk to Olin, Jiggets, guys that have played the game that know offensive line play,
mm-hmm.
and whether or not this person could be able to be a difference maker, because when it comes to Orlando Brown, I need him to be upright for Justin for 5 years. I need him to be that guy that is a shield for Justin, for him to run around the pocket or for pass protection. Can he do that at age 26? It's experience, but is it aging experience that cannot help Justin Fields for the long haul? That's what I care about.
So there are a handful of guys, offensive tackles, that are free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we'd have to talk to Olin, have him break the tape down. Yep. Mike McGlinchey from the 49ers, Isaiah Wynn from the Patriots. Again, some of these guys are older. Jack Conklin makes a lot of sense to me. He's a right tackle, though, not a left. I think he's a local kid. Didn't he go to Michigan State, Snorley?
Notre Dame?
Who?
Jack Conklin.
Yes, State.
Yep. Went to State. He's a good player. He's 28 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
He made $14 million this year. He's going to get paid. He's 28 years of age. So I just want good players.
Yeah.
Guys, this is Jack. He's a really good player. Mm-hmm. Figure it out.
Now, as I said in the previous segment, the hope is that you have at least 3 guys that's in your camp right now that you say, we believe in you 3. We need to make sure we protect the left side or that left side for Justin Fields, his blind side, and maybe on the right side as well. But if you have 3 guys, like say Leatherwood works out to be something, that'd be great. I'd love to know that. I'd love to know that Braxton Jones is developed into something. I'd love to see that because it's not going to be 5 new offensive linemen here, Shay. I don't expect to see that. But I do expect to see this offensive line be better. The general manager is an offensive lineman. He knows what it takes. Now find what you need.
I need a center, first of all.
Oh, sure.
Got to have a center. There are some guys that are available that if you follow PFF or you follow some of the rankings, there's some decent players here. Garrett Bradbury with the Vikings, he's 27 years of age. Some of these guys are going to get paid, and they are going to get to free agency.
We got Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. But first, how did Aaron Rodgers get over his biggest fear? That's next on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock right here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. So, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's smarter than the room. Just ask him. He's on with Pat McAfee, and boy, that is just a great get for McAfee, right? Once a week, Aaron Rodgers, not speaking to the Green Bay or the Wisconsin media, he's talking to Pat McAfee. And so, you remember in this offseason that ayahuasca was a word and a term that we learned. Ayahuasca, something that Aaron Rodgers had to have to cleanse his body, correct? And
yeah.
His soul.
Yeah, ayahuasca is a thing that's big in Peru.
Uh-huh.
And my wife hiked to Machu Picchu, did the whole thing, a 4-day hike.
Bless
Sounded
you.
Like utter hell to me. Uh-huh. No bathrooms for 4 days,
okay.
Basically. You're out in the woods.
Okay.
Oh, God. Yeah, no shot. She went with her two sisters. And they offered them this ayahuasca tea. The three of them did not partake in it.
No indoor plumbing? No bathroom, huh?
No.
Felt like home for her.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Definitely. She's from Dixon.
Yes.
They offered them this tea. It's like a big delicacy down there.
Uh-huh.
And it has hallucinogenic properties. My wife's like, nah, I'll pass, thanks. And same with my sister-in-laws, Lisa and Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. He did it, and he said, like, it's the most incredible experience of your life. I have zero interest in taking a hallucinogenic like that. He said it really changed his life.
So, Shay, what's the latest on this? Because we haven't heard anything about this psychedelic or whatever tea since the beginning of the season.
Well, he's given the hard sell, Hoodie. You know, I wasn't super interested, but Rodgers is putting on the full court press and the hard sell because he said it alleviated his fear of dying.
Okay. So he's scared of dying. So he doesn't feel that way now? Now he's good with it. He's good with death? Or
He said he definitely had a fear of death. Ayahuasca and psilocybin, the active ingredient in mushrooms, really helped me with that and relieved a lot of the stress around the idea of needing to accomplish things before I actually die.
Okay.
The trip forced him to, quote, see the other side.
What's the other side? No playoffs?
Yeah.
Cap, I mean, seriously. I mean, what's the other side?
Being 4-9.
Like, you know what? After taking that tea and getting high, you know what I see, Cap? I see an early offseason. That's what I see, man.
Me and what's his wife's name? Or his fiance or girlfriend?
Blue of Earth.
Blue of Earth.
Blue of Earth. This guy's so whacked, man. Blue of Earth. Blue of Earth. I would like to sit down and have a cocktail with him.
Of course you would.
I like interesting people.
You find him interesting?
Yes.
Okay, I figured.
I find him very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you I want to live his life. I'm not telling you I want to take ayahuasca and do acid on the beach with my friends. I don't. But I would love to sit down and just talk about life with that guy.
You think he'd level up with you and talk to you about life seriously, this guy?
If I didn't have a microphone, it was just the two of us in Wisconsin sitting out on a pontoon boat having a couple drinks.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that'd be lovely. Here's my grandson, Ben, and I've got this parlay. Yeah, man, that's really trippy. Excuse me? Anyway, so you're a Packer, and you suck. Yeah, man, Chicago. Always loved it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't like you guys. You're beating our ass when you play my Bears. Yeah, man. Groovy. Real interesting conversation there, Cap.
I
you couldn't get anything past him. I'd be like talking to a wall.
I'm telling you, he would be a very compelling guy to sit.
Oh, really?
Not on camera. To literally have a discussion with. I like interesting people. I do.
This guy spent 4 hours with John Hamm his entire life, just watching a couple movies, thinks he's the worst guy ever. Aaron Rodgers has spent a decade plus bending your team over a barrel, and you're like, oh, I just want to talk to this guy. He's amazing.
I didn't say John Hamm's the worst person ever. I just said I don't like him.
Roll out the barrel. I don't think that'd be a very interesting conversation. It'd be you, you'd be the most interesting person in that conversation. Just talk to that wall. Same thing. You get the same results. Hey, man, Blue of Earth, come on over here, babe. Your name's Blue? Mrs. Earth, nice to meet you. David Kaplan. Not interesting at all. No. There's a lot more interesting people in this world. That guy? No shot.
You guys have no idea. Like, almost every day, even if it's cold out, I go walking around the city for 4 and 5 miles.
Yeah.
Almost every day.
Yeah, just looking to talk to people. Looking
and
for
I
a friend.
And I talk to just random people. The world is a wildly cool place.
It is. It's great for you to talk to people, but when you start talking to fire hydrants about your parlay, I start to worry. Shot or no shot in 2 minutes on Cap and J Hood.
Wow.
You suck.